I really think that for this week's podcast, we have to get a new theme song. And is this the one you use? Yo-ho, yo-ho, the actor's wife for me.
I don't sing ever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 338, An Actor's Wife. Rose Scarborough, the former Rose Blackshaw.
I think you'd have to say Knee Blackshaw.
Rose Scarborough, Knee Blackshaw.
That would be it.
You are the Rose who says knee. You are now an accredited cultural anthropologist historian. Am I overstating that or am I understating that?
Definitely overstating.
Really?
Accredited by what?
By the Victoria and Albert Museum.
No, well, I'm hoping to be. I have to prove myself with my transcripts.
All right. So tell us about the Actor's Wife project.
Well, it started many years ago. I mean, really many years ago. And it started because when we moved out of London, when we lived in London, we used to, I was doing still a lot of stage management stuff. And I don't know if all your listeners know that I'm married to an actor. I might have to say that.
Well, I think this is where we should start. That our podcast listeners will know we have talked to Rose's husband, the lovely and talented Olivier Award-winning national treasure Adrian Scarborough. So you are married to an actor. Somehow, the lot, the plight of the actor's wife became important to you.
Yeah.
Life of the actor's wife, I guess, is really...
The life of an actor's wife. Well, when we lived in London, and I probably was still doing a lot more theatre work than I do now, it didn't make any difference because everybody we knew was something to do with the business. Mm-hmm. But when we moved to Berkhamsted, sunny Berkhamsted,
which is about a half an hour outside of London, the M20.
North of London. It's about sort of half an hour, 40 minutes north of London. It's not an actory town. It's just a very ordinary British commuter belt town.
Would you say middle class, upper middle class?
Both of those, okay. Probably. As far as I know, at that time, although now there are a lot more, there weren't any other actors living here. Right. And people would say, I had Jake, our eldest, was 3, and I was pregnant with Esme, who Jake is now 18 and Esme is now 15, but... they would say, oh, hello, welcome to Berkhamsted. What does your husband do? Because everybody was sort of categorised by what their husband did. It's very old-fashioned, isn't it? I don't imagine. You probably all think we walk around in bonnets or something.
No, I think there are... I mean, I now...
Cranford.
I now live in a suburb of Chicago where it's very, very, it's very similar. Yeah. What do you do? And nobody in my suburb, nobody talks about it because they're all embarrassed or they hate it. But it pays them a lot of money, I've noticed. Anyway.
Yes, yes. That, similarly, it seemed to pay very well, whatever they did. But nobody was married to an actor. And I first became very aware that I was married to an actor as opposed to any other person. I didn't have to mention it until he turned up to pick the kids up from school. Well, it would have been Jake up from school. And he had huge mutton chops. I don't know if that would be an American expression, but huge big sideburns.
Was this for Cranford?
I think actually it might have been for Platonov. So it was very Chekhovian. He had Chekhovian sideburns. Mm-hmm. And I felt obliged to say why he had such peculiar facial hair. Mm-hmm. It was not a fashion choice. It was because he needed them for the show that he was doing. And so it comes out, he's an actor, and as soon as you say, my husband is an actor, then the next question is always, oh, what will I have seen him in? Mm-hmm. And I would then say, do you go to the National Theatre very often? And the normal answer in Berkhamsted is, no. So then I would say, well, probably nothing then. And things have changed over the years because he has got more of a TV profile and he's done films that people may have seen. So they've seen him in things. But that's... And I just thought nobody else, no other person has to explain what their husband does. So that's mm-hmm. where the project started. But we are talking 15 years ago. So that's how long I have pondered uh-huh. the position of the actor's wife.
It's an interesting little subculture. Actors, well, but also this the artistic life generally. But I would imagine there's a subculture of every footballer's wives. You know, they get a TV show. You know, you're doing a podcast.
And I know that if you were married to a doctor, a friend of mine is married to a doctor, he's an ophthalmologist. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you say, my husband is an ophthalmologist, they'd go, oh, I have this funny little right. stigmatism or something in my eye. Do you think he might look at it? you know. So I know that it's not that being married to a professional, it can be any professional, that yeah. is intriguing to others if yeah. they're not... But
oh, your husband's an actor. Can we get him to host something for us?
Can we get him to host something, or could he sign something that we could then auction? Mm-hmm. And right. And I also, you know, or could they introduce? Could he introduce me to somebody way more interesting than him?
Because he knows and people even more famous than he is. Yes,
and you know, I'm not above pimping his friends, so I'm not. I can't pretend that I'm above that. But so that's how it started, and I didn't really know what to do with it, and I tried looking at different things, none of which really worked. Because actually that was about me, and I didn't really want to talk about me. So now I talk to other wives, which uh-huh. means I don't have to reveal anything about myself or my marriage, and I can just delve into other people's marriages.
Until now.
Although I have delved into...
Other people, yeah.
A Titchener marriage, you see.
Well, that's right. Yes, you interviewed my wife, Dee Ryan, and you haven't yet shown me the transcript.
No, I should.
So you've interviewed how many people now? Do you know? Do you guess?
Not that many. Only about a dozen people. It's very hard to persuade people to
is it?
Allow me to do
it. But it's fascinating because you are following now the journey, and you're interviewing actors' wives, but of course... The wives are talking about their husbands. So whoever you've interviewed, you're interviewing twice as many. You're finding out about twice as many people. And you are really investigating what this particular subculture is like.
Yeah, and also because I didn't want it to be a gossipy, right. Celebrity culture-y kind of thing. Right. That's not what I'm interested in. And we have... a thing here called the Oral History Society. I think you have something very similar in the States, but it's about people telling their story orally. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I may eventually write it in some form, but actually it's about having the voice mm-hmm. of that person. I like hearing that person's voice, and it's a voice that you may not you may not hear. So it was. There was something about trying to get those stories, but I did some training with the Oral History Society. So they teach you how to not just gossip and actually, you know, ask better questions. That's how come I need an archive, and that's how come I've now got a connection with the V&A, because Adrian, I'm still pimping him, obviously. He occasionally works for somebody who is a curator at the V&A, and I contacted her and said, would you take the archive? Would you store these stories? And she said, well, you'll have to prove that you've done them properly. So I'm now, that's why I say I can't say that I am actually...
It is England after all.
Yes, we do have to do things properly. So fingers crossed that will all be okay. And so that's what I'm doing. And they said you need to put a historical bent on it. So having called it An Actor's Wife for Me, that was the project, mm-hmm. it's now called An Actor's Wife for Me, The Changing Role of the Actor's Wife, 1950s to the Present Day. Because I think that it's not just about what it's like to be an actor now or mm-hmm. to be an actor's wife now, but what was it like then? The business in England has changed enormously. I mean, beyond recognition from the 1950s to now. So being married to an actor now is a very, very different thing. So I am actually about to interview somebody who only got married last year. So, and I interviewed someone on Monday, and she got married in 1965, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that will be an interesting comparison.
Yes.
That's what I'm interested in, not... oh, what will I have seen him in? And right. I think that's... So I'm trying to tell the story that goes beyond what will I have seen him in.
I am Jenny Barnett from BBC London 94.9, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? There are actually no performances this week, but our UK tour starts up again next week on June 4th in Great Yarmouth. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. What have you found out about your fellow actors' wives?
That we're all very different, which is not surprising. Every marriage is different. Every actor is different. But
how many of these actors, how many of the wives are also artists? Do you know what I'm asking? Mm. Are in the business?
So far, I found it incredibly difficult to find an actor who isn't married to somebody who is connected in some way. That might be a designer or a director or a writer. But I have... So far out of my all of those interviews, I've only got one who is not remotely connected and has never been connected. Some are no longer connected, but they were. And right. She's a criminal barrister.
Oh, wow.
So she's so totally, totally different. Yeah, that's quite a hard thing. And I don't think that's surprising, because I think to be married to an actor, you have to have some understanding of what that is. It means them going away. Yeah. It means them perhaps, even if they're at home, not necessarily being with you because their head is somewhere else.
Right.
And that might be true of other people. And actually listening to some of the stories, I think some actors, you know, much like you, Mr. Titchener, will also write or direct or do other things. And actually, from everything I found out so far, being married to a writer is probably harder, because they're at home but not with you. They're there in body but not in mind.
Well, and don't writers famously lack any social skills?
Quite possibly. Although I think some,
that's a bit of an overstatement, I think.
I think so. And some actors are quite peculiar. But they seem to get on terribly well with other actors.
Well, I know that one of the things that you and Dee share particularly is actors who travel. Husbands who travel so much for their work. You find yourself actor's wife, subheading, and single mom.
There's the single mom thing, because, yes, you have to do that. And one of my questions is, tell me about re-entry.
Yes.
Which I don't think anybody else might understand what that means. But re-entry is a very particular thing. And actually, the people that I spoke to two people today, and they're both actors, and I asked them about re-entry, and they said that they thought the trick of re-entry is to immediately go to neutral territory. So when they re-enter after a period of being away, they go out for dinner. And so what you don't have is the actor coming home being faced with a big pile of brown envelopes,
which
is not pleasant.
And nor do you.
And also and the tap is dripping, and that's gone wrong. The boiler is not working, and I didn't know which to prioritise of all of these things, because now you've come home, which means you're not working. Right. So if you're not working,
get to work.
You're not earning. So if you're not earning, are we going to fix the boiler, the car, or are we going to pay for, you know, it's that thing. And I don't think if someone's been away, that's the nicest way to come home.
Yes.
So I thought, that's quite a good idea. But also, you know, others that I've spoken to, They have their husbands come home and for no apparent reason feel the necessity to move the furniture or say, why is that suddenly there? That wasn't there when I left. And they move things about.
They move things about or they restore
things.
You decide.
To where they are, yeah.
To where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. And also, there's a whole thing, D, like myself, it's a single mom thing. Mm-hmm. So while our husbands are away, we establish a behaviour and rules and boundaries.
And patterns and schedules.
Yeah. And then our dear husbands return, mm-hmm. and they feel that they need to impose their rules and boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I know in our house, occasionally very overstate the boundaries. and also, if you're not working, what are you going to do to fill your time?
Right.
So will you fill your time with imposing new rules and regulations? And they go, oh, you did it like that while I wasn't here. Curious. Wrong, but curious.
And will you be deviating at all from your sexist presumption that all actors are men? Will you be interviewing any actors' husbands?
Well, do you know, I reluctantly have, because when I spoke to the V&A about it, they thought that it was terribly old-fashioned to just be interviewing wives. So
it's a great title. Actors' Wife is a great...
for me. Yeah. An Actor's Wife for me is a great title, and they've ruined it by insisting that I talk to men. Men who are married to actresses, but also same-sex couples.
Oh, right, okay.
As well. I've done one same-sex couple so far.
Women or men?
Men.
Okay.
So that's two, because today you had a husband.
I had a husband. I did have a husband today.
You had somebody else's husband today. Well done.
Hurrah. and that's very interesting because not only did I have a husband, but I did the husband and wife at the same, not at the same time, obviously, because they could hear each other's answers.
Right.
But I did the husband and then I did the wife. And the set of questions are the same. So it's not that I deviate.
Right.
From the script.
The questions don't deviate depending on what gender you're talking to.
Not the gender that I'm talking to, or the whether they're a 1950s wife or a 1990s whatever person. Then the year of the marriage, they still get the same set of questions. And actually, I think the most interesting is what the question I ask is. The first one is always, how did you meet? And I think that most people have that as a story. They've told it so many times. It's a patter. And you have to break that to mm-hmm. get through to the real story. Although the husband and wife couple that I interviewed today, they told their meeting differently, which is quite interesting.
Oh, interesting.
And but the most interesting thing is what do you think the biggest change has been in the business since you married to the present day? So two people marrying today, what's the biggest difference? Technology, massively. I mean, I am here talking to an iPod.
Right.
In the 1950s, there was no such thing. There wasn't any such thing for a long time. And I remember for Aid and I, when we were first together, he went away and I could phone the theatre and leave a message at stage door if he really needed to get in touch with me.
Right.
I remember we got a pager. That was a huge leap in technology. Mm-hmm. And I could, but it was a numerical pager. You couldn't send
a text message,
as we understand it. It was just, so we made a code. And so sometimes it would just be, I don't even remember what the code was. I should feel like I should romantically, I should remember what it was. But it would just be a set of numbers that said, night, night, sleep tight, I love you.
Oh, nice.
So it'd be like the last thing that I would send him before I went to bed.
Yeah.
Or it would be find a phone and call me. But, you know, now we phone each other all the time. But then he would only phone if he really needed to phone home.
Right.
Otherwise he'd have to get a whole load of 10p's and go to a payphone. And that just, now that seems crazy.
Right.
But that's how it was. Or, you know, you're about to Skype your wife and daughter.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when he was away, he was just away.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see him or speak to him or anything. But then the woman I spoke to at the beginning of the week, she has this gorgeous set of letters that her husband sent her when they were doing twice weekly rep. And, you know, so it's just, it says on the letter, it doesn't, there's no date. It just says, Coventry, Belgrade, matinee. Darling, darling daddy, I miss you so much. You know, and you just wouldn't have that now. Who writes a letter home?
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your tales of being an actor's spouse via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to Webmaster Matt Rippey, actor's friend Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Kevin Hartley. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Jenny Barnett at BBC Radio London 94.9, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 338/1014 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Will this be available to people? Because it sounds really cool, and not just because I want to read Dee's transcript.
Well, at the moment, nowhere. If they have a story to tell, I would be very interested, and maybe they could just get in touch through you. So if they are an actor's wife and feel that they have a story that they would like to share, I would definitely be interested in hearing about other actors' wives' stories. And so at the moment, nowhere. But as soon as there is a website or whatever, I will let the Reduced Shakespeare Company know, and you could put a link or something.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.